Oh, yes. This is episode number 15 of the Midlife Crisis Podcast. It's tournament time. It's upon us, 2024. I hope you had your brackets filled out. Everything's being examined. You know, is your team in? Is your team out? I'm here at Chop Sports in Matawan, New Jersey. Congratulations, Dave Sturcio here on launching a new venture called Fight Factory. Also, he's promoting a wrestling tournament at Jenkinson's on July 16th. Called War at the Shore, outdoor wrestling on the beach. Who could beat that? Tuesday's also unlimited ride day. If you have your kids, you can bring your whole family down there. Jenkins, I've been there a while. My next guest is a writer. He also writes a blog, very active on X as far as region basketball. With tournament time, I thought he might be a good guest. He was gracious enough to come on. He's the owner of Zag Blogs, and he writes for NJ.com, Wall Street Journal, Forbes Sports. It's my honor to introduce Adam Zagoria, the end-all, be-all, know-all for the New York basketball scene. Thanks for your time. You know, a couple years ago, I think about 15 years ago, we spoke on the phone. I was thinking about writing for basketball. You were gracious enough. You're walking down the streets of New York. You're gracious enough to speak to me and just talk a little bit about.
Good.
Yeah, anything, but yeah, thanks for, you know, being generous and, you know, taking my phone call and also getting on a podcast. I started this podcast back in November and a couple basketball related. So I just wanted to, with tournament time, and you got the pulse of the region, especially in New York, New Jersey with basketball. I just figured, you know, you'd be a good guest. But
are you related to Joe Whelan?
No, the AD you're talking about?
Yeah.
No. I don't know any other Whalens that I'm related to, but he was the St. Anthony's AD for a while.
Right? Yeah.
He bounced around, so I think he bounced around. So
yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, but the NCAA, do you think the committee got it right? I mean, it's not a perfect situation. You know, of course, there was a couple upsets there at the end that, you know, bounced a couple teams that, you know, you follow, and most of the region in New York follows.
Are we live right now or no?
No, it's not live. It's going to be recorded.
No. I think Seton Hall kind of got screwed. They went 13-7 in the Big East. They should be in, but I understand there were five bid thieves, and that kind of hurt them.
Yeah. And then what about St. John's? I mean, obviously they had a good run there, and then next thing you know, they end up losing. And, you know, a couple of those games went the wrong side.
Look, I think both Seton Hall and St. John's could win a few games in the tournament. I think Seton Hall has a better resume case to be in than St. John's. You know, St. John's just put up 90 on UConn and, you know, probably deserves a chance. But, you know, it's rare. I think like 93% of teams since 2014 that finished above 500 in the Big East made the tournament. Both these teams were left out.
Now, do you feel like they dominated some of the bigger schools, the schools that got in? You know, there was something going around like the football dominate, like the Michigan States, maybe the Virginias, that they were, you know, the committee favored them
No, because they put in schools like Colorado State. I mean, it's hard to know, you know, who you would take out if you're going to put in a Seton Hall or St. John's, but Michigan State has 14 losses and they only have 3 quad one wins. Seton Hall and St. John's both have more quad one wins. You know, I'm not sure Colorado State should be in. You know, I don't think you can say they favored the big time schools because there are 6 Mountain West schools in the tournament.
Yeah, that's true too. And about expansion, you know, it was originally 32, a long time. It was 64. It went to 68. They expanded the bracket. Do you think that we're getting to a point maybe we could see another expansion as well? Or do you think that's going to hurt the overall competitiveness of the bracket and kind of cheapen it?
I think 68 is a good number. I know there was some reporting from The Athletic that they're looking at expanding it into the 70s. But, you know, there'll always, no matter what the number is, there'll always be people that feel they were excluded and should have gotten in.
And do you ever think like they would ever have like eliminate the NIT and just combine the two? Would ever have like a big?
I guess The Athletic reported they wouldn't go beyond 76.
76. And I know, like I saw on ESPN, Russ Greenberg was, Seth Greenberg was saying maybe have like the one big leagues have like a play-in, you know, to kind of, you know, have something like that. That was also something that was addressed. So.
A play-in for?
Like a play-in for the tournament. Like have like somebody's one big like that. Now they have the first four in that have a play-in to go into the next level. The one somebody's one bid leagues.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what that proposal is.
Yeah, well, I mean it's floating out there. But and what do you think about Pitt skipping the NIT? Do you think that was a?
Yeah, I mean they're not the only ones. You know, St. John's and I think maybe Indiana and Memphis skipped it. Some coaches just feel like their kids aren't going to be motivated, or it's going to be hard to get the team motivated after they didn't make the NCAA. Plus, the portal opened yesterday, so coaches got to deal with that and refurbishing their rosters.
Yeah, I mean, do you find like that's one of the reasons why some of the teams didn't do it, if you're a senior and you decide not to play, I guess that's kind of like disheartening. So it's just. You know, just I guess you have arguments for both sides of it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, a team like St. John's, you know, they play one day in the Big East semis, and you know, then suddenly their season's over. So I'm sure that's hard. I'm sure that's hard for those kids who expected to keep playing in some tournament, and now they're not even going to the NIT, and just their season suddenly ends.
Yeah, true. And then just on the local, I mean, we have Wagner. And, you know, St. Peter's obviously coming in, got a Jersey City connection. You got three, you know, St. Anthony's graduate, Hurley and Copeland. And also you have Bashir Mason from St. Peter's making it. So at least we have some schools to look out for. What do you think Wagner's on the plane? You think they might have a shot of
playing up? Look, first of all, I wrote a big story today, Jim, on NJ.com. It's a great kind of feel-good story about Bashir Mason, the St. Peter's coach, and Donald Copeland, the Wagner coach, are best friends. They were actually born on the same day in the hospital, in two different hospitals in Jersey City in 1984. So they've, you know, been friends since they were 8 years old in the Jersey City Boys Club. They both learned basketball from the Hurleys. Sure. You know, Donald played for Bob Sr. at St. Anthony's, and Bashir played for Danny at St. Benedict's. So they're really kind of carrying the Hurley approach toward playing basketball the right way, hard-nosed, defensive, physical basketball that they learned from the Hurleys. And now, you know, both guys were on with Bruce Beck on NBC on Sunday night. That was kind of cool. And then Donald is in the play-in, Tuesday night with Wagner against Howard. So, you know, they got a chance there, but then they're gonna have to come out of it and play North Carolina if they win that game, I think. Yeah. And St. Peter's is a 15. They have to play Tennessee, but you know, they're trying to kind of redo the magic that they had a couple years ago with when Shaheen Holloway coached the team and they got that team to the Elite Eight.
And I thought that maybe with that history with Shaheen Holloway, that might gave him an opportunity to maybe to get in. That 2 years ago they did have that success, so there is some sort of lineage sometimes with the NCAA. I thought maybe like that might carry over the team they had now, but the committee thought elsewise. Didn't think so.
Talking about with Seton Hall,
yeah, with Seton Hall, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, those are two different teams. Just because it's the same coach, it's two different teams. But yeah. Again, I was on a Zoom call on Sunday night. I was on Zooms with Coach Patino at St. John's and Shaheen. And Shaheen was just really devastated, said he was super disappointed and, you know, it was heartbreaking for his players. And it was tough looking at his players in the face. And then he asked them, do you guys want to play in the NIT? And the seniors decided yes. So they'll keep playing, but it's got to be hard for those guys to get motivated. I mean, you go 13-7 in the Big East Conference with wins over UConn and Providence and Marquette, you know, that's, you should get in the tournament. I mean,
yeah, that's a good resume. So that's
first time a team five or more games over 500 in the Big East didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they're playing tomorrow night, and then I think that's sold out all shims. So, you know, at least there's still an appetite for to see the team. Like,
yeah.
So, and they're playing St. Joe's, which is, you know, another Jersey connection there too. So, I guess Billy Lang, his dad was with Bishop Eustis for a while. Now he bounced around Villanova, such for. So, so it's a good story. Even though it's good to see the games are warm up, but you see any upsets coming through? I know they talk about McNeese State. You know, they're squaring off with Gonzaga. Will Wade, he was at LSU. I know he had some troubles playing players. Now it's like, you know, now it's the norm. So, but, you know, you think that they might be able to
– Yeah, I mean, look, as an overview, Jim, I think that I tweeted today, I'll be very surprised if one of UConn, Houston, or Purdue – doesn't win the whole thing. I don't think that some years, you know, it's wide open and you see 6, 8, 10, 12 teams that could win it. I don't see that this year. I think there's three clear favorites. If we're sitting here in 3 weeks and somebody other than Connecticut, Purdue, or Houston has won it, I'll be surprised. You know, there's a tier of teams below them, Arizona, North Carolina, Tennessee, you know, maybe a Kentucky, Marquette, Creighton gets hot. You know, I could see one or two of those teams get into a Final Four. As far as upsets, yeah, I do like McNeese State. That's a 12-5 game. They're playing Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Also in that same bracket, Samford, you know, McNeese is one of four teams in the tournament with 30 wins.
True, yeah.
So that's a, you know, anytime you win 30 games, you're good. And that Gonzaga team is, you know, not vintage Gonzaga. In that same bracket, you've got number 13 Samford, which I believe has 29 wins, I think, and they're playing a Kansas team that's kind of, you know, had some injuries and down a few guys. So
yes,
I wouldn't be shocked if both the 12 and the 13 win there, and I could certainly see, you know, McNeese State getting maybe to a Sweet 16, where I had them playing Purdue in that bracket.
Yeah, and what do you think about Purdue? I mean, Edie, you know. He's been there long enough. Painter, you know, played at Purdue, coached there. I mean, there's a lot to like about Painter, but, you know, getting knocked out. I mean, I was looking at the scenario, like Virginia got knocked out early. Next year, they won a national championship. UConn got knocked out by either New Mexico or New Mexico State, won a national championship. So, I mean, I guess the only concern, I guess, would they have the inside. Can Purdue, do they have the shooters outside to, if they, you know, they pack the key in, if there's reliability there on the outside. So
yeah, look, a lot of people, I know Seth Greenberg has said that Purdue is going to be this year's Virginia. You know, they lose in the first round as a one year and they come back and win the tournament the next year. So that, you know, again, like I said before, that certainly could happen. And there's a lot of pressure on this Purdue team, Jim. This is 3 years in a row now. They've lost to a double digit seed in the first round. You know, they lost FDU last year. And let's keep in mind, a Big Ten team hasn't won the tournament since Michigan State in 2000. That's almost a quarter of a century. It's all 24 years.
Yeah.
Since then, you know, I think the Big East has won 6 and the ACC's won 8 or something like that. So everyone talks about how great the Big Ten is. They put 7, 8, 9 teams in every year, but a lot of them lose early. So Purdue, along with Illinois, is the Big Ten's best chance to win a title. And yeah, you're right. It's Zach Edey's the player of the year. He's a monster. He's a force down low, but it's going to come down to the guards. I think they shoot something like 29% from three in their losses and 40% from three in their wins.
Okay.
So they're going to need the two guards there to shoot well and play well in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a couple interesting opening round games I had was Alabama, Charleston, Texas A&M, Nebraska. Now, Nebraska has two kids from my alma mater, Rosal Catholic, on there. So I saw them at Rutgers. Good team. We got Fred Hoiberg, the coach. But then you also at Texas A&M has, Buzz Williams, who's an excellent statistician, would be a dangerous team. What about those two opening round games? What do you foresee in those two games?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough matchup there. I know a lot of people like Nebraska coming into the game. I think they're 23-10 overall, and they've won three of their last four and seven of their last nine. And obviously Horburg's a good coach. I kind of think Texas A&M is going to pull that out, but that's a, you know, it's kind of a pick 'em game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was the other game you said?
Alabama, Charleston. So, I mean, I know they just gave the coach of Alabama a huge extension. So, and Charleston's, you know, somebody's picking them as a, yeah, as a favorite, just because I think they're another, you know, unknown team that, that shoot the ball well.
Yeah. I mean, I like Alabama to make a deep run. I have them going to the Final Four in one of my brackets. You know, they score a ton of points. You know, they can, you know, sometimes they don't defend as well, but they can put up 90, 100 points on you. So I think they're a team that could really go deep in this tournament. Another team I like really is this UAB team, which is coming off winning. I think they're a 13 seed. They're coming off winning the American.
Yeah, they beat Temple. So, yeah.
And, you know, they're going to play San Diego State, which got to, I guess they're a 12 seed. That's another 5-12 game. San Diego State got to the Final Four last year. And then, you know, but I like UAB kind of pulling the upset there. They're a big athletic team, gets up and down, and then they could potentially face Auburn in the second round if they win that.
Yeah. And then, of course, you look at UConn, you know, this team, it looks better. I mean, they shoot the ball better this year than last year's team. That's possible. I mean, they have Donovan Clean in the middle, and they have Johnson coming off the bench. You know, they have great guard play. You know, Castle's going to talk about being a lottery pick. You know, Spencer, the kid from Rutgers, could shoot the ball. I mean, I don't know what he did. Rutgers, he was kind of inconsistent. He's more inconsistency at UConn. You know, what's your take on?
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If Cam Spencer wins an NCAA championship here, will he be the first Rutgers or former Rutgers player to win an NCAA championship? I think he would.
I mean,
anybody else? I'm
trying to think. Yeah, you know, only two players come to mind would be like Keith Hughes and Eric Duncan played for Wenzel. That was in '91 when he made it, but.
Dante Jones transferred to Duke. He didn't win one.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
You know, that's something I might write this week. But look, that Connecticut bracket is pretty tough, right? They have four conference tournament champions in their bracket, Illinois, Auburn, Yale, and somebody else I'm forgetting. So they got four conference tournament champions in there, and they could have to play Auburn in the Sweet 16 and then – oh, Iowa State was the other one. And then either Illinois or Iowa State in the Elite Eight. So that's a tough, you know, they probably have the toughest region. The good news for UConn is for them and their fans, you know, they don't have to board a plane until the Final Four. The games this weekend are in Brooklyn. If they advance, they'll be in Boston. So it's all driving distance for them and their fans. And, yeah, it's amazing that this team lost three guys to the NBA last year and they're as good or better than last year's team. Cam Spencer was a great addition for them. Super competitive guy, takes after Coach Hurley, can shoot the three. You know, I see him, he's going to be 24 years old in April, but I think he could be a NBA free agent, you know, two-way contract kind of guy because the kid can flat out shoot it. And then with Caravan and Tristan Newton, they have all kinds of perimeter shooters. They have two at every position. Donovan Klingon's a monster down low defensively. And then you bring in Samson Johnson, who played for Chris Chavannis at the Patrick School.
Sure.
As your backup center off the bench. He's an athletic rim runner. You know, they know how to win. They won last year. They won the Big East regular season and the tournament. So if you're going to pick one team to win it all, it's UConn. But that is a, you know, that's a very tough bracket. I mean, they could face, you know, San Diego State, Auburn, Illinois, just to get to a Final Four.
Yeah, Illinois is tough. I mean, I like their coach. I remember when the Barclays Center opened up, he was the Sam Houston State coach. He beat Huggins at West Virginia in the opening round. So, I mean, I like Illinois' coach. I mean, but I don't know if they got the depth, but I mean, just UConn just throws so much at you, and their guard play is they control the ball, their guard play, and it's just like nothing seems to faze them. But, like, with Danny Hurley, do you think he stays at UConn, or do you think the NBA ever might be calling?
I think he's going to stay there for the foreseeable future. I mean, He said it's his dream job. You know, he's got one ring there. I'm sure he wants to put up multiple other banners the way Jim Calhoun did. You know, coaching in the NBA, it's a whole nother thing for these guys. Like, you don't really control your players and your roster as much in the NBA. But, you know, a lot of people thought Jay Wright would end up in the NBA eventually. True. Maybe that still will happen, but I think he's enjoying retirement.
Well, his dad never left either. His dad stayed put. He only, I guess, only people that defeated him were was the Norcart's diocese and closed them. So, I mean, you know, so
Kevin Boyle did pretty well against
him. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Kevin Boyle did do pretty well. So, you know,
I got to give a shout out my man Dave Boff, the former Roseau Catholic coach.
Hey, that's my guy. That's my alma mater. Hey, I was trying to get him on the show. He said, "Wait till spring. Wait till spring."
But it's nothing. Coach Hurley.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, he started as a girls' coach too. You know, so he started as a girls' coach. But you talk about Dave a little bit. I mean, you know, eighth championship. So I mean, like, you know, he didn't miss a beat. And I know he got some slack for Group One school being so loaded, kind of ripping through the tournament, but you know,
yeah, I mean, I talked to him about that. You know, they probably should have a separate bracket for the charter schools. But, you know, I debate this with some of my colleagues at NJ.com and other people who, you know, they say Dave, you know, is an accumulator of talent and maybe not. Look, Bob Hurley and Kevin Boyle are Hall of Famers. Kevin should be in the Hall of Fame. So maybe Dave is not quite a Hall of Famer. But the guy is a hell of a coach. Anybody who goes 4-2 against Bob Hurley in the state tournament, you got to tip your hat.
Absolutely. And then he was at Roseau Catholic. He was a director of development. He was coaching of school. I mean, I know when I spoke to him, like I just being an alum, you know, he said eventually his time was going to come there. And then, you know, I guess he just got burnt out. I know he's got, you know, a younger child. So, you know, having kids, I know you post stuff about your daughter at Davidson. So, you know, track and field. So, you know, that those times don't come back. But you talk about, you know, getting back to the NCAA collector of talent, you know, Kentucky. Nobody's really talking about Calhoun. Should we worry about Kentucky at all? Or, I mean, Shepherd, Shepherd's a nice player, you know?
Yeah. No, look, I mean, Kentucky could lose in the second round and I wouldn't be surprised. And they could get to a Final Four and I wouldn't be surprised. They got two lottery picks in Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham. They've obviously got the Camden guys, DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw. This was the first time this year that Cal had five different freshmen named SEC Player of the Week. And, you know, they can score. They can get up and score 90 or 100 points. Question is, can they defend and keep the opposing team from doing that in these big games? And, look, there's a lot of pressure on Cal. He hasn't – you know, they lost to St. Peter's a couple years ago in the first round. Yes. Last year lost in the second round. So if they lose early, there's going to be, you know, his seat is just going to get even hotter.
Yeah, because that, you know, that's a blue blood program there. But talk about opening up coaching. If you know, Michigan, Juwan Howard got fired, but I know a couple names are rumbling around. You think like a Dusty May, Anthony Grant, or Sean Miller? Do you think they?
My basic feeling is Dusty May is going to have his choice of jobs between – I mean, the Ohio State job was filled, but you still have Louisville, Michigan, you know, Vanderbilt. Is it, you know, Stanford's open now. There's a bunch of high-major jobs open. So Dusty May's obviously got his team to a Final Four a year ago. Very clean-cut guy, doesn't have any baggage on his resume. If they make another run this year, although they do have potentially UConn the second round, you know, his stock's going to go up even more. But I'm not sure there are enough. You know, there's so many openings. I think there are 30 or 35 openings.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there are enough high-quality coaches to really fill all those jobs. I've heard maybe Chris Mack at Vanderbilt. You know, you mentioned Sean Miller. He's got a little baggage. So does Chris Beard. So does Will Wade. All these guys have baggage with the, you know, FBI investigation stuff. So I'm not sure every school is going to want to take a chance on those guys.
Yeah, but
guys like Pat Kelsey, Charleston, you mentioned Anthony Grant, the Lamont Paris at South Carolina. There are some good young coaches out there.
I mean, you see anybody like we talked about Mason and Copeland, you ever see maybe them taking a step if the opportunity, like, you know, that's sometimes with coaching, that's like your resume. You build a program, you get to the NCAA tournament, and then you end up getting up to the next level. I mean, might not.
Yeah, I could definitely see Bashir Mason. He played at Drexel. So if the Drexel job ever comes open, you know, maybe that's for him. I definitely think he's going to move up over the years. Donald Copeland looks like a rising star in the business. You know, you've got all the Connecticut assistants, right? Luke Murray, Kamani Young, yeah. These guys.
Tom Moore, I guess he was a coach.
Tom Moore is a great guy. He's a little older.
Yeah.
But if you know, Luke and Kamani want to get back into like a low major, mid major kind of job, they're going to have their options down the road.
Yeah, very true. And then I follow you on X. I mean, you put out good stuff. I mean, your articles are great online. Right. I know you went out to Kansas, to Allen Fieldhouse. How was that experience? Was that the first time you were out there? And
yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'll tell you what happened, Jim, was I looked at the calendar. I'm a big rock and roll music guy, as people know.
Yeah.
And I noticed that UConn was playing Kansas December 1st. And then the final two KISS shows ever were at the Garden December 1st and 2nd. So I said to my buddy, Josh Swade, who went to Kansas, he's a filmmaker. I was like, we should fly out to Allen Fieldhouse, go to the game Friday, then fly back to New York and go to the KISS show Saturday. Yeah. And we did both, and it was a lot of fun. You know, Allen Fieldhouse is just on another level. The fan excitement, the energy, the way the fans are moving in the building, it's unlike really anything we have here in the Northeast or the Big East. And you can see why Bill Self hardly loses any games there. I mean, UConn made that close, but it was just an incredible environment. Yeah. You know, everybody's out in the bars beforehand and afterwards. It's like a real college environment. And then we flew back and saw KISS last show ever. The Paul Stanley's voice wasn't so great, but I'm glad I was there.
Yeah, well, listen, they still got memories. I mean, nobody beats KISS. You know, we're around the same age. So, I mean, yeah. But also, like, Allen Fieldhouse, where else have you seen games where, I know, like, Henkel Fieldhouse, obviously Cameron Indoor, the Palestra, people talk about, like, where are some of the places that you've seen that?
Yeah,
like,
well, I've been to Cameron. That's incredible. I've been to Rupp. And I've been to Allen Fieldhouse. I've never been to Henkel, so I still got to get there. Actually, the Final Four of the NIT is at Henkel.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, theoretically, yeah. If Seton Hall gets there, maybe I'll go to that. Although it's the same
well, week. I mean, they shot Hoosiers there, so that's my draw. So they did Henkel Fieldhouse. But, you know, switching gears a little bit, my son goes to UMass, they're in the A-10. They just announced that they're going to the MAC. Do you see kind of these conferences getting bigger? Like, Big East is a basketball conference. They kind of seem they weathered the storm when the whole thing broke up with the football thing. Do you think, like, the A-10 and some of these non-basketball-specific conferences are going to have trouble, and you think like these super conferences starting to develop? I know the Big Ten started about expansion and everything else.
The Big Ten is going to have, I think, 18 schools next year. You know, they're going to get USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon. It's just really tough on the athletes in the, not football, not basketball, to have to travel cross country for golf and tennis and volleyball. And then you're going to have Stanford and Cal in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I mean, the last time I checked, those schools were on the Pacific Coast. And now they're going to have to, athletes come play in the ACC. So it's just a little ridiculous for those athletes. And, it does seem like we're trending towards where the five power conferences, especially in football, are, almost ready to secede and do their own thing. But, the Big East at least has established itself as a good basketball brand.
Yeah, well, that's what Bobby Knight said about when Penn State came in. It's great with basketball, but what about like tennis and tennis and all these other sports? You're flying these kids all over the place. So So, yeah. But anyway, just talk a little bit about yourself. I mean, you put out great stuff in X. I mean, you write for NJ.com. I've seen your stuff in Wall Street Journal. You're on Forbes. You can just talk about where can we find you? And also, like, how did you get started in the business? I mean, you're almost like Adrian Wojnarowski or like some of these other, like, they get breaking news. But you get, like, stuff like, I mean, you ever sleep? I mean, you just seem like you're always on the cutting edge of things. And, like, how did you get started in the business? And, like, where could people find you?
Yeah, well, thanks for the kind words. I mean, definitely you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Zagoria. You know, I write for NJ.com and I have my site. I do stuff for Forbes. And then I have my site, zagsblog.com, which is a lot of recruiting stuff. I mean, you know, I started writing about my college ultimate frisbee team in college writing sports stories for the paper. And then at a certain point, I kind of realized, like, hey, I could get paid to do this and not, you know, not have a real job, not have to go to law school or work in an office 9 to 5. So I went to Columbia for journalism school and I studied with a guy, Sandy Padway, who a lot of people know. And yeah, I'm just fortunate over the years to kind of stick with it. And, you know, I've made a lot of good friends and contacts in the business.
I mean, your stuff is great, but, you know, it's just like, you know, you're like, you put this article out about Copeland and I missed. Like, it's just like, you know, I gotta go back and read that now because, like, you know, I've seen these kids play college throughout their high school career. A lot of times you covered them. So it's just interesting to see these kids, you know, you continue their journey into college. But, you know, last question. Well, actually, I got two questions. Where are you going to – what games are you going to stay in Brooklyn?
Look, I would have gone if Seton Hall went to Dayton or Seton Hall was somewhere. I would have gone to cover them. I feel bad that those kids aren't in it. I'm going to stick around in Brooklyn. I will be at the Seton Hall NIT game Wednesday. Then I'll be in Brooklyn on the weekend for UConn and Duke. And then I'll probably just go to the East Regional in Boston – you know, assuming UConn is there, and then I'll be at the Final Four in Arizona.
And lastly, what do you think your picks? Who do you think your Final Four picks? And who do you?
Yeah, I mean, I have UConn and Arizona in one semifinal, and Purdue and Houston in the other. I kind of went chalk there.
Yeah,
I'm picking a UConn Houston championship game with UConn winning and becoming the first back-to-back national champ since Florida. But, you know, hopefully it'll be fun and some upsets along the way.
All right. Well, thanks, Adam. Thanks for, you know, your time. Sorry for being a little bit late and everything else. But I appreciate you coming on. You put out great stuff, and, you know, the articles are great. Zag's blogs, you know, that stuff is, you know, it's, you know, with the recruiting stuff, it's always good to see, you know, who's going where and everywhere else. But, you know, enjoy the games. Thank you for the time, and I really appreciate it. I really do. So have a great night.
All right, Jimmy.
Great day, Ron.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Take care.
I want to thank Adam for his time. I know he's going to be out there writing good stuff. Follow him on X. He'll always have updates and injury updates, story updates, great stuff, especially if you're a basketball fan. Really good stuff. I want to thank Adam for his busy time for his year. It's probably his Super Bowl week, but I want to thank him for coming on, and feel free to look at his stuff. Look for another episode of episode 16 of Midlife Crisis coming to you very soon. That's all, and have a great day.